we begin the Dr. and Mrs. Future show on KSCO.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Mrs. Future. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, so great to be here.
Thank you.
Happy Future Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, getting ready for whatever's next. So, we have a number of interesting news stories and a few personal anecdotes we'd like to share with y'all this week that shows you how things are changing.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody's feeling it, but the equinox was yesterday, and I'm feeling so energized. There's just so much energy in the air, so many things to do, so many opportunities, so many ways to express yourself and to grow. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling. And I'm feeling a real surge.
This great sunny weather. Mm-hmm. Though I must say, you disappearing in your iPad so much is definitely...
It's new,
noticeable.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I've never seen her disappear in her iPad to the extent she has for the last week. Unreal. And why? You know, looking a little deeper, she's found a new game.
That's true. I made a life-changing decision a few days ago, about a week or maybe more ago, to spend... I'm a person who... I'm not addicted to technology the way many people are. I like my privacy. I like my alone time. I love our time together, and I do not appreciate all of the distractions that come in by having the internet constantly available for research, which you can spend infinite amount of times chasing you're interested in.
That said.
And also social media, which I think of as a source of infinite interruptions, where lot of people are vying for your attention. Yeah. So I always keep my technology at bay. You know, I'm like a 70s person who, before pagers, before the idea that people were online 24/7 because of cell phones, we used to have phones in our homes. And if we were home when it rang, we would pick it up.
It wasn't as big a part of your life as it is today.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. If you missed somebody, it was like, oh, well, not meant to be. Try again later. And that's still how I am with my phone and my connectivity.
Yeah, it's true. In terms of bandwidth, we went from a drinking fountain to a fire hydrant. One generation.
Right.
So you're getting whacked with this heavy flow of information. So
but
anyway,
that's because the great teachers of time management say if you want to really be in charge of your time, you have to eliminate distractions. So I make that a priority. I am in charge of initiating.
So being very discerning of what you allow into your world then.
Yes.
What have you allowed in that has gotten you to go more into screen time?
So I like the rewards of games on electronic devices. So I,
ding, ding, ding,
over the years, have played many things like Tetris.
Well, you are from Las Vegas, so
right.
That makes sense.
I like this other kind of Tetris game called Woody that's also a puzzle fill-in-the-pieces game. I also have been a fan of Solitaire over the years.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've seen you disappear. But this new one, it looks more interactive, and it looks like it involves characters.
Right. I made a decision.
Who are you affiliating with online here?
To fill my time with things that were creative. And so I decided to switch from Solitaire as the way of spending my game reward time to playing a role-playing game. And so
that's where you are a character in
character in a role-playing game. Exactly.
It's like your second life somewhere else.
Yes, it is very much like second life.
You're not married over there, are you?
No, it's the structured. No, I'm a student at Hogwarts.
A student at Hogwarts. No, that sounds... safe, I think. So, Hogwarts,
I'm currently trying to get trained so I can join the Quidditch team. That's
Quidditch,
where I'm at in my role-playing.
That's the flying game where you're flying on a broom?
In the game, not in reality.
I see. Yeah.
See,
still, it's a skill, right, to be able to cyber-fly.
Right. Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, to fly a broom in cyberspace.
Oh, I'm really bad at it so far. I really need some practice.
Yeah. It's a real skill. You have to learn, huh? I mean, it's not like you
have to
push your finger across the screen.
The skill
and
that
fly.
You learn isn't really flying a broom. The skill that you learn is doing what the computer asks you to do, which is to... do some exercise in a certain way in a certain time. You have to learn what the game is and get good at it. So there's different ways that you can win.
The AI sets up a little...
It's not an AI. No? It's a game. It's a role-playing game. It's
so
really
just a program.
The pinnacle of role-playing games because obviously Jam City and the partners of Harry Potter that produced this are the best in their field. They're really great in terms of the storyline, the characters, the rewards, the structure of the games.
So do you meet the professors? I mean, do you get to have a personal connection with the professors in the game?
Yeah. So each professor has a classroom and teaches different things.
So did you take a class like in potions?
I have taken a class in potions. Yeah. I've taken many classes in potions now.
Who teaches those?
The potions classes are taught by Snape, Professor Snape.
Professor Snape. Is he part of Slytherin?
Yes. Hey, see, you know you're Harry Potter.
I remember some of the facts from the movies. I haven't read the book, but I have seen the movies.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he kind of talks like this.
He doesn't... All of the talking is text at the bottom of the screen, so the
scripts...
So
you don't hear any? I see.
All of the scripting of the story is delivered in the lessons plan sequence. And so when you want to see what options you have, you're guided through the chapters. The timeline is structured in terms of being a year, being in Hogwarts as a student. You start as a first year. You can become a second year, third year, fourth year. And within the year, you have
certain
up
things you have to learn.
Maybe 10 lessons that you have to master. And then each lesson is then subdivided into things you do to gain skills and points. And in those sub-lessons, you have interactions with the characters, which include teachers, fellow students, people visiting the school, etc.
I can see how this could be really fun. You learn how to fly and...
I showed you the first time that I succeeded in flying on the broom.
Okay, but let me ask you this, though. It's fun, but are you learning anything?
Yes.
Is there anything there that...
I would say I am just amazed at the things that I am learning because, for one thing, I like the metaphors that this game has used because the rewards that you get in Harry Potter... There's many kinds, but the main ones that are all the time are you are either going to gain courage or empathy or knowledge. And you get to choose which of those things you will be rewarded by.
Are those like the different schools of Hogwarts?
No, but I think of them as different attributes that people value. And so there
some are, above the other?
Yeah, and in the game, the characters who value courage are a certain group. And they understand each other a certain way. And those who value knowledge are a different group, and they understand things a certain way. And those
like the geeks and the jocks and the
right,
high school.
Exactly, very much so.
So
those who value empathy are very emotions based, and it's all mixed up. It's not like one or the other. It's complex and very satisfying, the character development. So
do you feel like you're in college again?
No, I feel like I'm in high school.
High school.
I feel like I'm in Hogwarts.
So. Hogwarts. Hogwarts High School.
Right.
Well, thank you for that report, Mrs.
Sure.
So, what's the name of the game?
It's called Hogwarts Mystery, and it's on the App Store. And
playing on your iPad. All right. There you go.
We'll be back after this break. Dr. and Mrs. Future, at your service.
Don't miss Good Morning Monterey Bay with Rosie and Alex.
My wife and I, dear Miss Manners, went to a restaurant on my birthday. A sign at the door advertised a special reward when paying the bill if you were dining on your birthday. So, I mentioned to the waitress that it was my birthday in anticipation of the reward. When it came time to order dessert, the waitress brought a large dessert of the restaurant's choosing with a showy sparkler stuck into it. I was appalled, and I was embarrassed as I do not like to make a big deal out of my birthday. How should I handle the situation better?
Yeah, signed under a rock and false expectations that I made up about how the world works and where my life should be going on any given evening.
Really?
That's a lot of assumptions baked into a single evening out.
Well, especially when it said, if you want a special reward, make a note of it. And now he's appalled that everyone in the restaurant knows about it. He's a moron.
Yes.
Don't miss Good Morning Monterey Bay weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on KSCO.
was a moron. I didn't quite I'll listen to that one
again. Did you not listen to it?
Oh, no, I was getting ready for the next story here.
The story was that this person went out to a restaurant, and it was their birthday, and they expected somebody to give them a special reward. And then they were appalled that the special reward was the restaurant's prize dessert with a big sparkler on it that called attention to them. Oh. So, you know, careful what you wish for, huh? The irony is that the person wanted to be noticed and rewarded, but they just didn't like what they got.
Not in that way.
You should really celebrate your birthday with people who you know a little bit better, who know you, so that you can get the rewards you want.
I agree. I've already started my birthday.
That's like a month, right.
Like 3 weeks before.
That's right.
Just got birthday
just came
present
today.
For Mrs. Future today.
That's right. Should we leave it in the box? Should I wrap it up and make you open it on your birthday?
I think we should unwrap it with our young gamer friend visiting. We have a 10-year-old friend who's excited about stuff like what's in the box.
Birth month an starts on the equinox.
It's called an unboxing. Mm-hmm. So let's get a little more of the news, a little outer space news.
I'm ready.
Remember 2 weeks ago now how the Indian...
Oh, yes. We watched the live landing attempt of the
Chandrayaan
the Vikram.
Two.
Yeah.
Vikram lander.
The Vikram lander, which just until the last 10 minutes looked like it was going to be a real success for the world. Another country getting their chops on landing on the moon.
Yeah. It was a real sight to behold. If you had a chance to see the YouTube movie.
Oh, my goodness.
See it. It's the moments before the lander was coming down. It was a festive mood. It was like NASA as they were about to celebrate Apollo 11 success.
Everyone was just
people were really excited.
Tuned in and holding their breath, and the premier of the country was there.
Everyone was there. Uh-huh. Big signs, pride
the Prime
in the
Minister,
country.
And, I think,
and everything was great. And then the last minute, it disappeared. Like
Then everyone's waiting in anticipation while the news doesn't come out and doesn't come out and doesn't come out. And 5 minutes later, everyone's shaking their head knowing.
Yeah, something happened. So we're helping them out. Now, what happens? They lost the lander.
We meaning NASA.
Our space program.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost it and they couldn't find it. So they had their orbiter looking for their lost lander. Mm-hmm. It had everything about it. Not only was it a lander, but it also had a rover on board. And there's whole teams of people that designed the rover, too. And they were all excited to use their rover on the moon.
Yeah, they were going to remote rove on the moon.
Yeah. So it's fun. It could be to the point where we all have that kind of thing as entertainment. We're literally moving a little rover around on some other planet.
Well, that's one of the potential opportunities with VR is that when we get these real live experiences of things that happen, where people are using computers and technology and the space internet, right? There's actually a whole connectivity network for
the deep space network.
Right. So all of that data can be used to create games for people to repeat those experiences in VR. And every person can drive their own virtual rover once we really understand all of the experiential dynamics.
Oh, yeah, it's a natural direction. Just be a certain point where we'll be able to yoke our fantasies in the game worlds to reality.
And
through all the new sensory sensors that we're designing that pick up frequencies from universe and all kinds of domains far beyond our human senses.
Right. Yeah, and people in this crossover time when we're going from a non-connected civilization to a connected civilization because of these inventions that increase our connectivity with each other, our everyone-to-everything connectivity, we have people who are worried that people who love technology are somehow losing some aspect of their humanity, that they're not in their bodies, they're not loving nature, they're not using their senses.
I think there's a Greek myth of falling in love with the mirror, the image in the mirror.
Oh, yes. Echo and Narcissus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's an element to that.
Oh,
in this story.
Could you?
Well, the computers mirror us.
They are mirrors.
They are a form of a mirror. A mirror with memory. And other capacities.
And so do you think Echo is the little water fairy?
Man.
I think they're called a dryad. And she's in love with the man, Narcissus, who himself is in love with his reflection in the mirror. I guess that's a good analogy. We could say Mother Earth
it's a piece to it.
Is in love with humanity.
But the Greeks didn't see it all.
Humanity has created this mirror called the cyborg or the internet or the...
Well, that's what the Greeks didn't see. They had no idea of the cyborg.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they had a deep understanding of the nature of human
Narcissism.
Emotions. And relationships.
Yeah, are you calling the internet narcissism?
No, I'm just saying that they had a lot of the pieces to the puzzle, like Shakespeare. You know, a lot of the masters, the people who have spoken to us through the ages of their wisdom of human behavior.
Well, when you own everything as an expression of our divine nature, what I mean by that, owning it in the sense of taking responsibility for it, everything that humans create is an expression of our humanity. So as we create new machines that amplify our memory, that speed up the time that we all experience because there's so many more options of things that we can do all the time, we change something about our nature, but it's something that we're choosing to change. It's still us.
Yeah, a more intentional part. I'm thinking, like, for example, you'll be able to integrate a lot of things that you normally might not think of integrating. Like, let's take something that we're all talking about on talk radio all the time now, the politics, the Iranian situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
With a more of a higher bandwidth connectivity, we would be able to maybe apply the wisdom from that part of the world to the problem. You know, I'm sure there are important things in Sufism, for example, that came from that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the great poets, Rumi, Middle Eastern wisdom,
that Hafiz,
can be brought into the current situation to help resolve it.
Well, there's wisdom everywhere, and some of the wisdom entails knowing that there's a dominance race going on all the time, and some people are made for that race. Some people are here to try and dominate others, and sometimes I have to just say that I thought Donald Trump's speech to the United Nations this morning was extremely insightful.
Really?
About the entire global situation and the various issues that he is addressing.
Really? Why would you say that? What about his talk impressed you?
He was articulate about his view of those problems, and it was sophisticated. He wasn't doing his usual. He did talk about China and
the trade embargoes,
and about talking about how China needed to really stop acting like it was a third world country and trying to get privileges when it was the second largest economy in the world and it needed to step up and play fair with everybody.
Play a game in the system.
Yeah, right.
By playing a third world country with first world powers.
Right, right. I just felt very educated by his speech to the United Nations this morning. And it was interesting because it wasn't his typical Trump rally. It was a speech that he read. He obviously had spent quite a bit of time getting all of the issues down and worded exactly the way he wanted to express them. I really felt that it was something that intelligent people could be discussing with a lot of...
So we could have a good conversation about these issues.
All of these issues, yeah. Iran, China, immigration. Mm-hmm. These are complex issues, and we don't have all of the insight that people who are close to the situation have. So it's really important to embrace our shared humanity and say, hey, there is a solution here. We can work our way out. And having conversations about it that aren't just blaming, shaming who you love, who you hate, cheering for your team against the others is not the way of creating new choices and deeper understanding.
So you're saying maybe there's a danger to gamifying everything.
Well, gamification can make things more comprehensible. I'd say that gaming structure of the Hogwarts mystery is complex enough to give people a real human experience. It's not just yes, no. These are not the only options.
Are you
on the
interacting
table
with other live people in the game?
Well, it's not really set up as a social media game, so there are other people there that I get to duel with, and they are actually live people, and there are people you can look them up on Facebook because they've given permission to have their names listed. So there's an opportunity for you to reach out to people, but there aren't really things that are structured for you to talk to people, unlike some of the other games that people are into.
And from what you're describing, you really don't need to. Apparently there's enough else going on.
Yeah, this is designed for you to interact with the story. It's not really designed for you to interact with the other players.
With the players who are creating the story.
Right. The other players are fictional characters that have been scripted in. They're not real people.
Yeah, cinematically it's quite interesting too, because cinema is trying to play with this idea of branching films like Bandersnatch on Netflix.
And yeah, I think the Hogwarts Mystery did a much better job with branching stories than Bandersnatch.
Well, they were trying to do interactive television, which is different than interactive gaming on computers. So, I mean, how can interactive television be more interesting?
Yeah, that's true.
I guess would be the question to ask here.
Yeah, they're slightly different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the fundamental problem of how do you tell a story and preserve the engagement. In fact, we had an interesting conversation about the Emmy Award-winning television show Fleabag.
Right.
Which...
What the eight won some Emmys, I believe.
Yes, yeah. Yes, won some amazing, that amazing talent. Let's talk about that after the break.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and we'll see you in a few. Okay, welcome back to the show. We were just talking about Fleabag winning the Emmys, and
yeah, I just want to thank you for turning us on to that.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
We binged it. It was a great series, well deserving of the Emmy.
Fleabag, yes, on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is it about Fleabag that really tickles you, my dear?
All right. Well, it's extremely well written. It's a very tight, comedic. I was calling it the Californication for women. It's really, it's about contemporary sexual issues.
And for a single woman in her 30s in London.
Yeah, yeah. And really a fun take on a lot of things.
And she was someone that you were talking about how she played with media in a new way. We're talking about interactive television.
What made
and how it might be different from interactive gaming. And
something that I have never seen before in television, which I was calling breaking the fourth wall.
The fourth wall, where basically the audience doesn't really exist, where you're watching a story where you're invisible to what is transpiring, which is most of television.
But in Fleabag, what was happening is that the main character was constantly sharing her thoughts with us, the audience, as if we were her best friend and confidant. And every time she did that,
she
disappeared from the other characters in the drama, in the comedy. And they noticed and said, "Where'd you go?" You know?
Who are you talking to?
It was really
fresh. I'm playing my phone. What do you want?
In terms of this idea of engagement and the characters being engaged with the real people and the real people being engaged with the characters. So there's been a lot of things about, well, do I, as a real person, get to engage with other real people? That's social media. Do I get to engage with other characters? That's forked storytelling for gaming.
Yeah.
But what about these characters interacting with me, the real person? That was really fresh.
For television.
Right, for television. Yeah. People play with it in cinema a lot, but
It does come into mind that what if somebody played that game with their phones, you know, with Facebook Live and such?
How would that work?
Well, it's like you're in an intense situation with your boyfriend where you're breaking up about something or whatever, and you suddenly notice that about 1,000 of your friends are listening on your phone. Do you just stop the conversation with him for a moment and talk to your friends? Or what?
You know? Well, I think that is the Facebook phenomenon. For people who have gotten into social media, which I admit I'm not one of them, but I detect it from people like Joe Rogan and people who I can just tell are having so much fun with their social media persona.
Yeah.
It's like, do I choose to jump into this conversation in public? I don't know. There's a thrill there, but there's some danger.
Yeah. Right? Sometimes you don't know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Until it comes out.
That's right. But I do think that is the thrill. The thrill is the authenticity of speaking your mind, and then there it is. In print for everyone to read forever.
Forever, right? Until there's a coronal mass ejection on the level of a Carrington event. Oh,
that's right.
Well,
we can always hope for a Carrington event to erase our memories.
Yeah. I have enough faith that if we did have a Carrington event, we would recover.
Right.
But we would erase a lot of our memories. I mean, the NSA might have to start over.
Well, they should maybe even consider getting erased. Can we please go back to transparency for overt government instead of covert government? Well, Why do we even have to be bothered and burdened with covert government?
Because it evolved for a reason. Everything evolved for a reason. And knowing how that happened is important,
okay.
I think.
Okay, I'll trust the perfection. That's definitely something you always talk to me about.
All right.
How about Billy Sunshine?
Oh, Billy. Hey, Billy.
Fleabag. Hi, Billy. Long time no hear.
Hi, kids. So you had a good summer, huh?
Yeah, I'd say so.
With today's weather, it continues.
Oh, I can't stand this heat.
Poor baby. Go jump in the ocean.
And you live in Capitola. How can you say that?
Yeah, well, there you go. So a couple things. Yeah. First of all, if we have a character event, am I going to lose all my money?
Well, you have a new kind of money to lose.
Yeah, you should really start realizing that money is just an abstraction of real value. And
tell
get your real values
when
together.
I try to buy pot.
Well, he might take Bitcoin, you know. I mean, he could.
Yeah, you know, barter. You heard of barter?
I like barter. I love that idea. I love the idea of work credits. But actually, I called to tell you something about Fleabag.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Phoebe Waller or whatever, Bridge, whatever it is, she's wonderful. She also is one of the creators of Killing Eve, which was a great show.
Oh,
are you familiar with that?
No,
tell us about it.
So Killing Eve, one of the stars of that, it's Sandra Oh, who we all know. And it's this Comer woman who played the murderess in this thing. And she was just a gleeful murderess and having a wonderful time killing people. And it's just such an entertaining show. It's really good. There's a couple of seasons of it. And she's just a brilliant writer.
Wow. Well, I have to say, I approve of people taking out their evil perversions in media much more than in real time with unconsenting human beings, right? It's like, let's gamify evil and get it off the streets.
It's not going to make people want to go out and do anything, you know, Killing Eve. It's very stylized and its own thing.
Cool.
Yeah, keep evil online. Just keep it away from reality.
Always. Reality sucks. Come on.
Billy. That's not a very good neuro-linguistic programming thing to put out there in the airwaves.
You believe in updating your program.
Boy, Bander and Grinder would be upset with me.
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time you updated your thinking about things?
Yeah. Billy, I like to say...
I need to drop some acid because I do need a reset.
There you go.
Okay. Well,
maps.
Then you won't need
Billy,
this advice,
maps.
But in general, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
You're
so
in the
you
right
may
place.
As well be optimistic. Be optimistic.
That is the story of my life. Beware what you wish for. You may get it. Absolutely true.
Right. Well, how about wish for something you want? You may as well get it. Like reframe
a problem. I am free from desire, which means either I've hit nirvana or I'm seriously depressed.
Oh, well, I encourage you to weight the scale on behalf of nirvana.
There we go.
Yeah, the 0-1.
Choose nirvana.
The 0-1 paradox.
I'm just glad you guys are on the air. Thanks a lot.
Aw, you too,
thanks,
man.
Billy.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah,
bye-bye. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, Billy Sunshine. He adds so much to many shows.
He does. Hey, Billy Sunshine is a big part of this radio station. He's certainly been a counterbalance to many an opinion over the years and added a lot of good conversation.
And in on the brainstorm of what happens next with this station, too, media. Because as media shifts, so does the way of delivering media.
Yeah.
Such as AM radio stations.
That's right.
You know, is this a time when everything transitions? Could be.
Well, right? AM is an icon of the era of the one-to-many broadcast system, which was one phase of
the 1920s.
The development of a media, right? We went from nothing to something.
Yeah.
Then the internet became many-to-many, and it totally changed the way that the voices needed to broadcast and be heard, because now it's all about your affinity group. Now it's all about who cares about you.
Yeah, everyone has their own channel, and you can tune in every you want.
And you can be your own channel.
Or be your own channel. Yeah, exactly. Everyone is their own channel.
But there's no more giant behemoths, they call them. Like, there's no more top-down control channel telling you what to think.
Well,
unless
not,
you want to tune into that.
Yeah, there's that.
You have
channel.
Other choices.
There are many layers to it. There is the all the layers that led up to this point are still in many of still in existence,
right.
And new ones. What we're seeing with the internet is the decentralized model of intelligence applied to a hierarchical structure.
Yeah.
So the combination of the two is who we are now.
Yeah, it's like we went from a single laptop to a distributed network.
Yeah. So we'll see AM radio transition into something else. I mean, what exactly it will be, no one really knows, but we all have our guesses.
Mm-hmm.
We got a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. We got Bobby, who wants to talk about his iPad OS.
Oh, that's right. It just updated to iOS 13 on their phones and the first time in iPad OS, right, Bobby?
Yeah, it was supposed to be announced for next week on the 30th, but they released it this morning at 10 o'clock. And so I just installed it, and I would say it's transformed my iPad into a laptop. It's great.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, because the problem with iPads before is it looked very much like an iPhone, and everything was in a portrait mode as opposed to landscape mode.
Just bigger kind of thing. Yeah.
But you couldn't really plug in a thumb drive and search the drive.
Right. You know? You didn't have peripherals.
Right. So now you can have a Bluetooth mouse, you can have your pencil, and now you can plug in hard drives and scan the drives. It's replacing a laptop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your iPad can read data. Your very own private data on your very own hard drive.
But do you need a newer model iPad?
Well, you have to have at least an iPad Air 2 or better. I had the first model iPad Pro. That was no problem, but that was 2 years ago.
Right.
So, but it is backward compatible to...
Oh, good. I have a 2014 iPad myself, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, try it out. It was just this morning.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes. Mrs. Future, she reminded me. We have an
iPad Pro that we got last year, too.
That's the one she's...
that's the one I'm playing
sharing
Harry
time
Potter
with
on.
Wow.
That's the one that shares the bed with me and her.
My new boyfriend, my iPad.
Fortunately.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
She sleeps between us.
Finally, a little rival for Siri.
Yeah. Not that Siri was ever really a contender.
I mean, I've fallen more in love with my iPad now. And the first thing you can do is you can turn on dark mode, and the whole screen goes into dark mode. It's beautiful.
What does dark mode mean?
Well, instead of having the background kind of light colored, it turns everything in reverse.
And it preserves power, right? It's much easier on the battery.
Yes. The batteries last longer this way, apparently. Oh. So I'm really psyched about that.
Okay.
And then I had two more news items that
you
really
want to hang on for after
me.
The break, sweetie?
Yeah, we got to go to a commercial break, Bobby. We're talking to Bobby Wilder. He's got some news for us on Dr. Future.
We'll be right back with the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show, and we have Bobby Wilder on the line with a couple other items to share with us on our news segment here. What you got, Bobby?
Last night,
Equinox.
Equinox was, Equinox. There's an incredible energy change. I agree with you. I mean, it's just dramatic.
But what were you thinking of? What were you...
the teen Greta Thunberg?
Oh, yes.
The young girl.
Yeah, she's on our slate today. Talk about Greta.
That was kind of shaming us all for being such
bad.
Yeah,
we'll probably be talking about her quite a bit in the next hour.
Yeah,
okay,
we're going to analyze her a little bit.
Yeah, and then I recommend everybody at least see that segment, and I don't want to talk politically about it. But
it was very powerful, very powerful.
Yeah. The other thing I just wanted to mention, and maybe we can review this later, is Nancy Pelosi just announced about 10 minutes ago that they're going to call for the Congress to an impeachment inquiry. So
that just came through, huh? Just now?
That just now.
Whoa, that's big.
Anyway, I want to hear the rest of the show, and then we'll get to that later. So
they're not impeaching him about Facebook. They're impeaching him about Joe Biden. That's pretty interesting. I'm just saying the timing. Wow.
Yes. You'll have to hear her timing on these things, too. Okay. It's very interesting.
Yes,
okay.
Very interesting.
So anyway, I want to let you go.
And, thanks, Bobby.
Love your show. Thanks for having me on. And
always
talk
a
to you
pleasure.
Later.
You bet. Thanks Bobby, for calling. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we're going to squeeze a bunch of cool headlines that Dr. Future put together for us into the last few minutes
before
our guest today.
To complete on this, the Indian Space Program lost their lander. They've been looking for it with their orbiter. We've lent them our NASA orbiter, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, to scan the area where they think they might have crashed, landed. There's a lot of shadows there. It's starting to get dark and cold there. The 14-day is turning into night there, and it's going to destroy the lander's equipment. Electronics cannot survive.
Yeah, they were only planning to have a 2-week window. They landed kind of just at the edge, as close as they could to the beginning of the moon daylight.
Now it's minus 280 degrees Fahrenheit.
And then on Saturday, it goes down to below freezing.
So they were hoping to maybe try to communicate or at least see it. And so far, nothing.
So we did publish a link that shows you
what's been done so far.
Yes, the map of where NASA is looking for the lander. Yeah. There's a little moon map with some outlined areas.
Oh, it's a beautiful maps of the moon. If you want to really get into the moon topology.
Yeah.
There's also an article on our webpage where it talks about why we want to go back to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The reasons there, the compelling reasons that give us access to many more resources than just on this planet. So
right.
We don't have to rape the Earth anymore. We can rape the moon instead.
Let's just give ourselves a much better paradigm.
We need better paradigms. That's true.
Can we retire the myth that sex should be violent? Let's just relieve men of that illusion that somehow sex can only be violent. Like, if you're invited, it's way better for everyone. And the whole idea that rape is just something that's intrinsic to our nature is wrong.
Okay, I didn't mean raping the moon. I'm putting moon's resources to good use.
in terms of cultivation.
In a way that's not just beneficial to our species, but to others as well.
Cultivate.
It's a win-win.
That's
for everyone to have lunar resources. And that includes heavy metals, includes looks like a lot, possibly platinum, lots of titanium. Never mind water. So how could this be useful to the moon? Well, one of the ways is that what we think about, because we're biological life organisms, is we like to think about putting an atmosphere around a planet. And how would you make the moon habitable for biological life?
Sure. Well, we'll probably have to start out doing it in small cells that nurture our Earth bodies.
Bubbles. Yeah, like geodesic
bubbles,
domes. Yeah,
right.
That's how we start. Right?
And then...
But there's better ways.
Cultivating moon bodies that are perfectly suited
to zero gravity.
Being on the moon.
No, six gravity, excuse me. Yeah, bodies that are designed for the lunar surface.
Well, the idea that a body is a product of its ecosystem and it's perfectly adapted to work within that larger ecosystem.
Yeah. I would say kangaroos would be good. Kangaroo bodies. because you can jump.
You can jump.
Really.
Miles.
Well, right.
Yeah. 1/6 gravity, huh?
Yeah, so a kangaroo could go halfway around the planet.
If you could just help
the
them.
The proper jump.
They need to be able to breathe, though, Al, and feed themselves.
Well, that's the thing, is that maybe the breathing apparatus can be self-contained. We could take our spacesuits and internalize them into the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
why we
understand biocybernetic organisms
why the body is organized the way it is and to feed the cells the way it does, we'll probably have more of a clue how to develop things appropriate for other environments.
Well, I think we know that on some level.
In our subconscious, but our conscious mind is slowly catching up.
Well, we endeavor to create an equitable relationship.
Yes. That's right. The answers are there. We just have to seek them.
McLuhanism, I guess. When I say Marshall McLuhan, heard of Marshall McLuhan? And he often spoke of how the technology is a extension of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That it is, there's not a separation between the two. And that it will reach the point where that connection becomes organic, where there isn't, where it'll seem completely superfluous to think that biology doesn't include cybernetics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and I think that's a fairly quick state. It happens fairly quickly in time.
Sure.
And we're just on the side where We don't.
People used to love their horses, then they loved their cars. Next, they'll love their AIs.
Hey, we got news from Baron. Hey, all right. He's going to make it here on time.
Oh, good. What a relief.
Good. All right. Well, Baron will be the silent partner in this one.
All right. Fantastic. Right.
Unless he decides to change his status. Okay. Very good. Well, do we continue? How much time we have? 5 minutes?
5 whole minutes. And you only have about 20 headlines left that you haven't covered.
Well, okay. This one is going to happen fairly soon. It's about deep fakes. We've talked about this before, about the technology that allows you to completely fake an identity and voice 100% so that people can't tell the difference. You know, that's like the Turing test for deep fakes is not for friends to recognize the fake is real. This is an avatar online.
So anybody who thinks that they're following someone else's facts is going to have to quality check it for themselves.
Ho Lee, who is a deepfake expert, and the first deepfake he's created is Vladimir Putin. It's pretty good. Still, I can tell it's a fake, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he'll literally be able to put words in Putin's mouth, or anyone will be able to.
Right.
So we'll have a plethora of deep fakes very soon in the timeline.
This reminds me of the thing that started today with Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
Right? Deepak Chopra yesterday went into silent meditation retreat for some period of time, the next 10 days. But for those of us who are in his social media group,
he has his own.
He started a new
avatar
experiment where he's got a 21-day program where he is available to help you meditate. And he's sharing his wisdom about his understanding of consciousness and giving you insights of how to meditate. And he's doing this as an AI that is probably along the lines of these deep fakes that you're talking about, because the face of Deepak is this very nice current photograph of him, but the lips move, it looks 3D. It's an AI, so it's in one of these kind of conversational modes with you where it asks you to say ready so it can tell you what's next, and it asks you how you are. And,
yeah, it's trying. You know, they're trying, but they're kind of friendly zombies.
Yeah, well, just like the AIs, just like
go.
Siri and Google and all the other ones,
it
doesn't quite know how to respond to a normal human comment. It only knows how to respond to the very few that it's programmed to listen for. But anyway, it's fun. And even Deepak Chopra is getting into the AI race.
That's right. Well, you see, it has certain advantages because he can now have a more of a personal relationship with all of his fans.
Right. I love it.
Literally millions of people love Deepak, so they'll have more of a bond. That might be ultimately one of the problems with it, is that people will fall even more in love with you if you have a big fan base. You know
this
what I
is
mean?
A problem?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, is there a problem in having many people love you?
No, I think Deepak is setting himself free. He's giving his virtual avatar the ability to engage with his many, many fans, because there's so many more of them than there is of him. And a lot of people ask the same question, but they just want their own answer. Well, the AI can give them exactly what they're asking for.
That's true.
Right? And can free Deepak up to do his own original thinking and just
send
out new jewels.
His fans and that level. You know, if the AIs can do a good job in handling most of the fans' requests, like the basic understanding of space-time and things that he has to go over 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
If he can just have the AIs deal with that, then it frees him up to think of new stuff and explore new territory.
Right.
And that would be true for anyone who's a creative mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's exploring consciousness, and he's willing to hold up a light for the rest of us who are interested in his journey. I love that about him. Mm. And you know what?
Oh, it's the end of the hour.
End of the first hour.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, we'll be having a very special guest coming in, Suzanne.
Dion.
Suzanne Dion coming in. She'll be talking about the Enneagram and her new book on the Enneagram. And I think you'll see how it all relates to this avatar stuff and Greta and the United Nations.
Absolutely.